Good afternoon. You're listening to another episode of KMXT 100.1 FM's Talk of the Rock. Joining me today are Amy Durand and Barb Bundy of Kodiak Hospice and Palliative Care. How are the two of you today?
Doing great. Good, Dylan. How are you?
How are you, Dylan?
I'm good. Hello, yeah, it's good to be here. So to get down to brass tacks, what is hospice and palliative care? What do you guys do here on Kodiak?
So Hospice and Palliative Care of Kodiak is a nonprofit, non-medical organization. We offer support to the Kodiak community for hospice, palliative care, emotional support, bereavement and grief support, and then advanced planning.
And how do you go about achieving those objectives on a day-to-day basis?
So I'd also like to back up and also say that our organization is made of a board of nine. We have two staff members, which is myself, the executive director, and then our volunteer coordinator, Barb Bundy. We work alongside a huge support group of volunteers who offer that support to the Kodiak community.
And then I just would like to, as the volunteer coordinator, I'd like to talk about what we do for supporting, encouraging, and uplifting our clients and their family members. So we do have a great 12 members of direct care volunteers, and they are the heart of our organization, and we are so grateful for them. So as the volunteer coordinator, I oversee all of the volunteers, work closely with the executive director, Amy Durand, and we receive referrals mainly from physicians, but we can also receive them from self-referral and then also from family members. As the initial contact when receiving a referral, I contact the family member who is often the caregiver also. I can also contact the client member, and we do a needs assessment to see how can we support you, how can we encourage you and help you during this time where most people are so vulnerable and possibly filled with fear of the unknown and wanting to keep that hope for alive for their family member as long as they possibly can. And so we work directly with the medical team, which is such an asset for us, because as a volunteer coordinator, I'm able to contact a physician if needed. And in the past, they've gone into homes and made a home visit to take care of whatever's needed. And then we work with a great team of resources here in Kodiak, like Tara Cup. She provides DMEs, which is durable medical equipment, on wheelchairs and walkers and what's needed in the home so that the person can stay at home like they often want to.
So to follow up with that, I'm very curious, how did you guys adapt to the challenges of COVID-19, which in the case of patients who may have a terminal illness, it can make contact with them quite dangerous?
That is correct. We work with high risk. And so what we did was we were able to continue to serve our clients and their family members throughout the pandemic, because we did create a tier guide with precautionary measures such as required COVID testing for volunteers and staff, really anyone who is going to have that direct contact, wearing a mask, washing your hands, all of those precautionary measures. We also spoke to each of our clients, their family members, and our volunteers about their own personal comforts and if they wanted that direct or indirect care. And so even though we had to step it up with, you know, just extra precautions, we were so happy that we were able to serve our clients during that time, because even though we're in the middle of a pandemic, people are still dying. And so being able to offer that support and continue was huge.
So how long have you guys been operating on the island of Kodiak?
So a group of Kodiak community members saw a gap you know, with just this kind of support for Kodiak. And so in 2011, we were incorporated as an organization. And then 2013, you know, after all of the policies and procedures and all that good, fun business side of things is done, we started serving our clients in 2013. And since then, the average client that we have a year is 30 to 35. We average about 30 to 35 clients.
Okay, and I suppose this is a question for Barb, but can you walk me through what the day-to-day activities of a volunteer might be in order to help somebody in end-of-life care?
So for the volunteer, Amy and I work closely together to choose the right volunteer for the client and the family members, and we provide respite care, which would be often giving the family or caregiver a break and sitting with the client, maybe reading to them, maybe just sitting quietly and possibly running errands, picking up groceries, picking up medication. And we are also, again, working together with the medical team so that we're the eyes in the home. And so if there's something going on in the home that may need the physician's attention, or maybe the person is experiencing pain, and we focus on quality of life, not quantity of life, because we want everything to go as well as possibly could. So we provide many means of support that's needed that maybe the family isn't seeing. And we can also provide positive reinforcement, you might say, for to come in, you know, with family dynamics and to be able to just support them while they're very vulnerable and emotional and struggling through a time that maybe they have never been through, and we're the calm in the storm.
So before hospice and palliative care got started on Kodiak, was there any sort of service or similar thing before you guys arrived, or no?
You know, as far as I know, they used to have home health here, but it wasn't necessarily focused on end of life support. So I do not 100% know. I do know that Hospice and Palliative Care of Kodiak is the first hospice of Kodiak formed.
So are there any particular difficulties to doing end of life care on Kodiak that you might not find on the mainland or in the lower 48?
So I think death and dying all in itself is a very heavy subject. So educating the community is pretty hard to do.
And then as the volunteer coordinator, I want to go in. So the direct care that we provide here in Kodiak, as you know, we don't have all the resources medically that, say, Anchorage or a bigger city would have. So we have had the opportunity in the past to work with an outside facility like Providence Anchorage Palliative Care. And during COVID-19, they were able to provide virtual visits. And I know that some of the physicians did the same thing. So I think that one of the biggest challenges for hospice and palliative care is that clients and families reach out too late often. And what I mean by that is maybe due to fear or not wanting to lose hope. Some people see reaching out to hospice and palliative care as, you know, that it's the end. And that's not necessarily the truth. Some of our clients have been on our services for several years. And again, providing that support and advocating for the family in the ways that they need can make the transition or extend the person's life. But making that initial step to learn about hospice and to reach out to us to have someone come into their home would be really beneficial to all of the clients and families.
I think to add to that too, one question that could come out of that is, okay, then when should we reach out, or when do we reach out? And it's when you start to talk about that option is when you should reach out. That's, you know, our services are free of charge. We're here, even if you're not ready to receive our services, we can still answer questions and help kind of navigate through that journey starting at the beginning.
Pulling on that thread, how can people access your services? Say there's somebody hearing this who right now who thinks that they might have somebody in their family member who might benefit from your guys' care. How would they go about accessing those services?
So they can talk to their primary care provider. They can also self-refer. We get a lot of our referrals from community health clinics, their primary care provider, and also really anyone. You can self-refer, a family member can refer, even if you have questions. On our website, there's a referral form, and it's just a one page, you fill it out. Hospice and Palliative Care of Kodiak.org is our website. And so you go there and you can fill that form out and submit it, and then we'll reach out and kind of talk to you about what options we can provide.
There is one topic I wanted to bring up today, and that is isolation among the elderly, which has been a problem even before the pandemic. So could you talk a little bit about that and speak to some of the social difficulties that elderly people in our community and around the world face as they get older?
So some of the challenges that we're seeing with the elderly, specific to Kodiak, because that's who we actually have visited and who we've talked with. So some of the challenges with them, and especially during COVID-19, is that their health has really declined because of depression, loneliness, and just not being able to get out, say, their normal day-to-day, which may be going to the senior center for lunch, or visiting with their friends and getting together in groups to talk about the challenges that they've been having, say with whatever it is in their life that they're struggling with. So just being alone for day after day, and after a year of COVID, we have seen quite the decline with the elderly people. So I would suggest to people, make that phone call. Call and say hi. If you can stop in and you're comfortable doing that, go over for a cup of tea. Ask if you can get groceries for that person, and just reach out and let someone know you're thinking about them.
Another heavy topic I'd like to bring up today is advanced planning. What is it? Who needs it, and how do we get the process started?
So advanced planning is writing down your wishes. And we like to say anyone 18 years and over should have an advanced directive on file. And so advanced directives kind of lists out things, who your healthcare agent would be. You know, a healthcare agent is someone who can make your healthcare decisions for you if you are unable to do so. It lists out the care you would want if something were to happen to you, such as, do you want CPR? Do you want life support? Do you want artificial nutrition? And then it also goes over things, you know, what's more important to you, quality or quantity of life? Do you want to be buried or cremated? And do you want to donate your organs or your tissues? And so it is a very heavy subject, but it is something that is extremely important. We've seen clients who, you know, their family has it all listed out, and their family members, when they have to make those decisions, they can reference that documentation and they know that they're making the right choice by what their family member would want. And then on the other side, we've seen family members, you know, who have never talked about death, who are, it's such a taboo that it, you know, they just don't talk about it. And so I think that not talking about it makes it more difficult on the family.
I mean, now that I think about it, the only real time I've ever been asked to make any sort of consideration of that is when I got my driver's license several years ago and decided that I wanted to be an organ donor or not be an organ donor.
Mm-hmm.
So we've talked about advanced planning. How might somebody go about getting that process started? Do you guys have a way to help with that sort of service?
Yeah, so again, on our website, we hospice and palliative care of Kodiak.org, we have an advanced healthcare planning tab that you can download all of the documents there to fill out. We also are working with the community health clinics, and when they, you know, when someone brings it up that they want to discuss that, they will refer someone to us, and then we can sit down with them and go over all that information.
So we've discussed advanced planning and continuing down a perhaps darkening tone in our discussion, but one that is very necessary. What are some things that people of all ages can do today, can do right now to prepare for the fact that we are mortal and we will eventually die?
I always like to quote or talk about one of our volunteers that has been with hospice and palliative care for many years since the beginning. She actually has a death file, and her and her family talk openly about what the wishes are and what each one of them would like if they were to, whether it's getting an end of life illness or just like, what are your wishes? What would you like? And then I also would like to talk about like addressing the person that has the illness. Oftentimes families discuss that amongst each other, but they don't directly ask the person that has the prognosis, the end of life prognosis. So I would suggest talking directly to that person when they're in the situation that, you know, what would you like, Dad? What would you like, Grandpa, or whoever the person is? How are you feeling? Where do you, you know, where do you think you're at? And then encourage each family member just to talk to each other one-on-one.
So with that said, what are some things that, say, perhaps I as a young person or other young people listening might be able to go and do? And how do we go? I mean, now that I think about it, I don't think I have a will, and I have no idea how I would go about starting one. So can we get into that a little bit?
Yeah, so that is also on our website under the advanced planning tab. And so just having that conversation as a young person, making it less awkward to talk about death and dying. You know, like you said, we're all mortal. We're all going to die. And the only thing that we don't know is when. So I think just being more open about the discussion and being able to have it in a way that is, you know, a positive discussion with your family.
And that's another thing that I'd really like to get into, is that we sort of live in a way, it's not something that is very consciously acknowledged, but we do live in a bit of a death negative society insofar as we don't spend much time thinking about or talking about the fact that we will, of course, eventually die, and we do need to plan for that while we're alive. So do you think that, broadly speaking, people should be talking about death more in the sense of, you know, just families having a discussion about what their wishes would be if they were to be put in these situations? And how can people at home, you know, perhaps parents, perhaps children who are listening to this program might be able to take steps to broach that conversation to make sure that when the time comes, everybody knows what everyone else's wishes are?
So I think that those questions really do come as a case-by-case situation. You know, obviously, some people are more open to discussing and some people don't want to discuss at all, period. And that's, you know, it's our choice. But I think that starting out the conversation, you know, I have a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old, and I just, I, t- I, I work at hospice and palliative care. And so I just openly talk to them about that, you know, this is what I want, and, you know, whether I'm 90 or whenever, but not necessarily talking in depth about, you know, being in a car accident or something, but just kind of saying, you know, I would like to be cremated, and, you know, instead of being married, that's my wish. And so then it kind of gets them thinking, and they ask questions here and there about it. And so it's kind of become something that's an open topic, you know.
And I'd like to add real quick, Dylan, that going back to the advanced planning and filling out a will and filling out a power of attorney is very important. And I'd like to say that sometimes when someone, say, has a stroke or something and may not be able to speak for themselves, may not be able to, you know, cognitively or not available to make decisions. And without that paperwork, the family members are not able to make decisions for them either. So in circumstances like that, it's crucial that the advanced planning is filled out, and that includes the will and the power of attorney.
What do you think account? I ask this, of course, understanding that this is a incredibly broad question that no one may have the answer to. But what do you think is a root cause for people's hesitancy to talk about these sorts of things?
I would say that fear is the number one cause, and we know that speaking in public or on KMXT radio is the number one fear. And the number two fear is death. So I would say that hinders people very often from approaching the subject.
Well, certainly I can say that I have not conquered the fear of public speaking, and I certainly haven't conquered the fear of death. So taking this further, how have you seen conversations surrounding death change during your guys' lifetimes and during a very recent history, a pandemic?
So in my lifetime, Dylan, I've experienced many families dying, because I come from a very large family. My maternal grandmother had 16 children. And so I would say for myself that my experience has been being open to it, meaning that because I've been there and been with family members prior to and after death, that I'm more open to talking with family members, even prior to working at hospice and palliative care. I remember a time going in to see a family member when he was close to death, and just reading him a card. I read him Footprints in the Sand, which is one of my favorite poems, and how other family members were not comfortable going in to see him at that time. And so I may have gotten a little off topic on the question.
Not at all. And I suppose asking at a personal level, when I think of if I could do the kind of work that you guys do on a personal level, I'm not comfortable with the idea, not because I don't like helping people and speaking to the elderly and doing good things for other people, but because I still, of course, have the very real fear of death. So how is it that you guys are able to go in and do this kind of care?
So I think for me, you know, before working at Hospice and Palliative Care of Kodiak, I never liked to talk about it either. And after I decided to apply for the executive director position at hospice, you know, reading over what we do and everything, it was like, okay, I love helping people, and this, I'm very passionate about this. And so I just jumped right in, and it's been amazing, you know. And so I think that one thing that we have to remember so that we don't get burnt out is self-care.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe you can talk about.
Yeah, one of the ways that Amy and I have had closure for clients after they pass away is we honor each client by buying a rose or a significant flower for them. And we go somewhere here in Kodiak, whether it's down to the ocean or to a lake. And I say a prayer and then we honor that client. It was a privilege to support that family. And we say it's significant, Dylan, because we've reached out to the families by sending them a picture of what we've done. And oftentimes the family comes back and says that that specific flower that we bought was significant to their family member. So that's just something that we do for self-care. And it's very important for all caregivers to take a break. And hospice and palliative care can help with our amazing volunteers to give people that break. And that's with respite care and walking alongside them during this journey.
Well, I must say that I have no doubt that the work that you do is very much appreciated. So coming into a question that's very present oriented, do you think that in the wake of this COVID-19 pandemic, during which so many people have passed away around the world, do you think that the conversation about death and a sort of, do you think that people will have a more proactive approach to discussing their own death in such a way that they might be better prepared than they were in general before the pandemic?
That's a really good question. And I think it really depends on how people felt COVID on a personal level. You know, I know some people who weren't affected. I mean, I feel like we've all been affected, but on a personal level, some people have been affected a lot deeper. And so I think it depends.
It does. I think it depends on the person and what they've experienced and how close to home it was.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in our last minute here. How can people support your mission?
So they can volunteer. We do annual volunteer training. They can make a donation on our website, send a check, or call us at the office. And then, is there anything?
And then just with KMXT putting us on here live, helping to educate the community, mm-hmm. That's very helpful.
Well, I'm glad to have participated in helping you guys do the incredible work that you do. This has been another episode of KMXT 100.1 FM's Talk of the Rock. Joining me today has been Amy Durand and Barb Bundy of Hospice and Palliative Care in Kodiak. Thank you both so very much.
Thank you, Dylan. Also, can I say one more thing?
Sure.
Okay. I'd just like to say that I have decided to step down from my position as executive director. And so if there is anyone out there who would want to join the team at Hospice, we are hiring for an executive director.
Okay. Well, thank you both so very much.
Thank you, Dylan. Thank you, Kodiak community.